the district.
Tom Lando, my last question for you. Can the public attend any of these meetings for developing long-term planning for the Paradise Irrigation District?
These meetings are public meetings, just like we had today. There have been some issues with the tools we're using, whether it's Zoom or GoToMeeting or Chrome. But if there is an issue and people call us, we'll remedy that as fast as we can. Certainly, people are able to participate in these discussions.
That was Paradise Irrigation District General Manager Tom Lando. The next public meeting to discuss the district's strategic plan is Monday, April 12th, starting at 8:30 in the morning. And finally, the City of Chico invites the community to participate in the Housing Element Survey. According to a press release, the Housing Element is part of the city's general plan and provides an analysis of the city's housing needs for all income levels, as well as strategies to provide for those housing needs. The Housing Element is updated on an 8-year cycle and is a major planning effort that demands significant community outreach and input. This survey is an opportunity for people who live and work in Chico to participate in the Housing Element update process and give their input. All community members are encouraged to participate in the important planning process. The public is invited to visit the Housing Element update website at www.chicohousingelement.com. For more details, surveys are due on March 31st. The Butte Report is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Baker's Birkenstock in Chico and Paradise. Open Tuesday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. and on Sundays 11 to 5 and 11 to 4 in Paradise. Face masks, social distancing, and sanitized hands are required. There's also curbside pickup available by calling either location. Details on Facebook and at BirkenstockChico.com, or you could call 345-4880. Music by BenSounds.com. Tune in again next week and stay informed about what your government is up to. Stay tuned for the Chico News and Review on the radio with Jason Cassidy.
It's Thursday, time for the Chico News and Review, local news and arts from Butte County's community newspaper on the radio. Hello, Butte County. Thank you for tuning in to the Chico News and Review show. I'm Jason Cassidy, the interim editor of the CNR newspaper and your host for this weekly program, Thursdays, 5:30 p.m., right after the Butte Report with Sue Hildebrand here on KZFR. 90.1 FM and KZFR.org. This week, we are doing something a little different with the show. Yesterday marked the 4-year anniversary of the death of Desmond Phillips, a 25-year-old black man who was shot and killed by Chico police officers on March 17th, 2017. Desmond's father, David Phillips, witnessed as his son was killed in his home during a mental health crisis. And this evening, we will be devoting the bulk of the episode to replaying extended excerpts from David telling his side of the story of Desmond's death. A month after the killing, District Attorney Mike Ramsey declared the officers justified in their response. The Phillips family and its supporters formed Justice for Desmond Phillips, which today continues to advocate for an independent investigation of Desmond's killing and criminal charges against the officers involved. Other demands, which can be found on the group's Facebook page, include better crisis intervention and de-escalation training for officers and massive reform of the Chico Police Department. Desmond's death has also raised awareness about local police violence and spurred a stronger activist response and more active public dialogue regarding policing issues in Butte County. These issues have been covered extensively in the Chico News and Review in the wake of Desmond's death, yet despite the presence of similar questions of police violence and racial profiling, the case has not garnered the same wide media attention as high-profile ones such as those of Eric Garner, Michael Brown, and Breonna Taylor. Last week, however, UK news site The Guardian published an extensive feature on Desmond's killing and his father's continued fight for justice. The piece, titled "A California Town Was Promised Police Reform, Then Police Got Involved," paints a damning picture of Chico's racist history all the way up to the city's current failures in addressing police reform. It's in honor of the anniversary of Desmond's death and the ongoing fight for equality in our community that we present David Phillips in his own words, as recorded during a Juneteenth gathering in the Chico City Plaza last June. Before we start, a quick disclaimer. During the next 20 minutes or so, some descriptions regarding the details of Desmond's violent death will be graphic and might be troubling for young children or those suffering from trauma.
I'm about to... This is hard. I'm about to tell you the truth of what happened in the capital murder of Desmond Anthony Phillips. I'm about to tell you the truth about what happened 3/17/2017. Bear with me, this is hard.
It's okay, cousin.
I just want to give everybody heads up before I start that I'm going to be showing some very, very graphic photos of my son, what they did to them. So if you have children, it might not be what they need to see. So with that being said, on the night of March 17, 2017, my son Desmond was in an early stage of a mental crisis. So I called the ambulance to come and help take my son to the hospital to get him treatment, and which they've done 3 or 4 times in the past. So the same officers that murdered my son that night had been to our home 3 or 4 different times in the past. They knew Desmond suffered from PTSD. It started in Sacramento. Desmond was having an episode. He was by the tracks in a fetal position, and Sac PD approached him, and he obviously was having an episode. And he didn't answer their question quick enough. And this is the first time this kid has ever had any encounter with any law enforcement. Well, by him not answering quick enough, that landed him in ICU for 4 days. They beat Desmond so bad in the parking garage to where they had to take him to ICU. They wanted to put him in the jail anyway, but the nurse said no. He was unconscious, blood coming from his nose, his mouth, and they put his face on the hard asphalt where it burnt half of his face off. So when we found out where Desmond was, I went and got him and I brought him to Chico, thinking that, hey, you know, my son would be safer here. You know, this is the first we knew that he had any type of mental illness. I brought him here. He was here about 8 months, me and my baby, before they murdered him. On the night of March 17, 2017, I called the ambulance to come and assist me. They were not trained, obviously. The first thing they did was they came in, they took his earphones off, took his phone, and then they grabbed him by the arm. So, Desmond moved back like this. The firemen and the ambulance went outside, and they were talking about calling the police. Desmond heard this. So he locked our front door, and our screen door was left open. So when he locked the door, he went, and he got 2 knives out of the kitchen. And I called them back, and I said, my son has knives, so that you would not come in here surprised and murder my son. So what they did, when they came, they got a beanbag shotgun, they got a shield. My grandsons were in the other room, I was in another room. So Officer Gatman, my grandson, opens up the blind, he shines one of those bright ass police flashlight to blind him. So he set the blind back. I'm on the phone with dispatch. They're trying to keep me in the room. And I'm talking to dispatch, and she says, well, the police are here. I said, they're here. So I come out of my room, and what I come out of my room to, I came out of my room to my son being murdered. The DA lied and said that they were three officers involved. There were four active shooters that I can testify to that I saw. They were shooting Desmond when Desmond was down. Officer Fear emptied his gun when Desmond was down. I looked at my son's face. Before he hit the ground, I looked in his eyes. And they were closed, and they were still shooting him. They shot my baby. They tased him, and he kept squeezing the trigger. They shot my baby in the face. They shot him in the mouth. They shot him in the neck. And they shot him multiple times in the head. It took them every bit of 2 seconds to murder my child. They didn't knock on the door and say, Chico police. None of that. The ones in the back were over 25 feet away from Desmond when they start shooting. I have bullet holes in my apartment right now. Yes, I'm still in the apartment. I walk over the spot where my son was murdered every freaking day.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Chico News and Review Show on KZFR 90.1 FM and KZFR.org. We are at roughly the midpoint of David Phillips' Juneteenth speech, wherein he recounts the night his son Desmond was shot and killed by Chico police. During this pause, we're going to bring in writer Ken Smith, who recorded the speech and has followed the Phillips case, including interviewing David Phillips in his home, and covered it for the CNR since the beginning.
Can you tell us about what you've learned from Mr. Phillips there, talking to him in his own home where his son died?
Absolutely. Just sitting in that living room, and there's still bullet holes in the walls, and the thought that David Phillips lives with this every day, he still lives in the same place, it's really crazy. And I think by the time of this... when this telling of the story that we're listening to on Juneteenth during the BLM protests, it was a story that I'd heard from him directly, but I feel like, you know, as much as we can report on it and everything, I mean, there's nothing as meaningful as hearing it straight from Mr. Phillips.
Sure. The public hears a lot of the narrative, you know, that goes back and forth between law enforcement and the people involved. But in going to the different proceedings and press conferences and stuff like that, you've heard both the official statements as well as interactions between the Phillips family and the Justice for Desmond people and law enforcement. Can you tell us about any of the interactions between Mr. Phillips and how it contributes to this story?
There was one really haunting moment early on, just 4 days after, or 3 or 4 days after Desmond was shot. There was a meeting held by the NAACP down at the Southside Community Center in Oroville. And the Phillips family was there, and Chief O'Brien and, or then Chief O'Brien and District Attorney Mike Ramsey were there. And it was pretty hectic and emotional. And one of the things that always really stood out for me, and like, and I'm reminded of every time I hear this audio, is at that meeting 4 days afterwards, David was, you know, telling these people, you know, I saw your officers kill my son. I saw it happen. And Mr. Ramsey was saying, no, you didn't, David. You were hiding in the room, David. No, you didn't. You didn't see that happen.
Man.
And then covering the press conference when Ramsey announced that the officers were, by his judgment, you know, cleared of any wrongdoing in the shooting. There was the 911 tape was played over and over and over again at that press conference and analyzed to death, like every second of it. And Ramsey clearly stated at that point, you can hear the door open. So he confirms that David Phillips did in fact see his son shot, witness it happen. And it haunts me to that memory of a father trying to share that truth and somebody telling him that that's not what you saw. So for me, just on a personal level, having covered this for the last 4 years, like that's something that kind of always sticks out in my mind.
We return now to David Phillips' Juneteenth speech, played here on the Chico News and Review show at the four-year anniversary of the shooting of his son, Desmond, on March 17th, 2017.
I walked out to see my son murdered. I looked at him. I crawled to him. I crawled on my hands and knees to my baby. And when I crawled to him, his arm was sticking out. That's the only bullet that he took in the arm. The rest were all up here. The DA wants to say that, oh, he jumped up and he started charging them. Desmond is 6'1½". If Desmond had jumped up and charged him, and they shot, if you got a foot high from the floor, Desmond would have been hit in the ankles. Okay? If you're standing up a foot from the floor, he would have been hit in the ankle, leg. Desmond caught everything up here. Every bullet hole in my apartment is under 3 feet, 2 feet, and 1 feet. They murdered that kid in cold blood. It took them 2 seconds. They said absolutely nothing to Desmond. When they came in, they didn't say, Desmond, put your hands up, or you'll be tased. Desmond, get on the ground, or you'll be tased. They said nothing. They tased him, and they kept shooting until their guns locked. They were out of ammunition. And by Jared Comfort's own admission, when he shot the taser, he kept squeezing the trigger. I'm about to reveal what they did to Desmond. I'm not going to leave this up long because I don't want to look at it either. But when he tased my son, all this is taser burns. On the other side, it's even more burn than that. So I'm going to paint the picture for all of you to see. This is the picture. Basically, when he hit my son with the taser, he was basically cooking my child alive while being shot at the same time for every direction. 2 seconds. They was cooking him alive while being shot at the same time. So I want you to try to imagine being in a middle crisis. And they bust in your house, no nothing, bust in your house, and they said absolutely nothing. They just tased and shot, shooting and tasing, until their guns were empty. And again, I crawled to my child, and I couldn't. They couldn't. They started yelling at me. All the guns are pointed at me now. And I'm fearing for my life and my two grandsons. I've seen what they just did to my son. So what do? Do you stay there and you try to help your deceased son? Or do you get your grandkids away from these murderers? They killed and murdered Desmond out of hate. Straight up hate. And when it's a different when you know, if you kill somebody, you can get in a car accident and kill somebody. But murder, that's when you go in to take somebody's life. And that's exactly what they did. So when you murder somebody and there's hate, we're not going for first degree murder. No, we're going for capital murder. Because when you commit a murder and you hate, that's capital murder. Murder is murder. We want accountability, and there will be some indictments. Because that's what we're fighting for. And that is what we're going to get. And we want accountability, and there will be some indictments. Because that's what we're fighting for. And that is what we're going to get. I'm not going to stop. The Phillips family is not going to stop. The Justice for Desmond team, we are not going to stop. All of you supporters, friends, family supporters, we're not going to stop. People ask me how I feel about George Floyd. I'm sad. I'm hurt. But you know what? There's 1,000 George Floyds out there. There's 1,000,000 of us out there. The ones that you have not heard of. I'm fighting for each and every one of you, your children, everyone. You understand? That's what we're about. And if we don't start here in Butte County, we got to. If they get away with this point, we all will be removed. We are not going to stop. Thank you guys for coming out. Thank you for your support. I love you. I love all of you. Thank you.
You're listening to the Chico News and Review Show on KZFR 90.1 FM and KZFR.org. There are a few things that have been as consistent in Chico over the past couple of decades as West by Swan. The long-running experimental rock band has been around for more than 17 years, and I've been following the band that entire time as my tenure as the CNR arts editor follows the same timeline as West by Swan's run. In a 2006 piece on the band in advance of its self-titled debut album, I wrote that the music is noisy, complicated, chaotic, and even dangerous sounding. But it's also precise, delicate, direct, and packed with emotion. That description still stands, not because the band hasn't changed at all over the years, but because the four-piece is still exploring in any and every direction. West by Swan's recorded output has fallen into an every 4 year schedule, with four full lengths released between 2006 and 2018. However, thanks to the COVID-19 pandemic, we've gotten recording number 5 a year early. Cancellation was released last week on the band's Bandcamp page at westbyswan.bandcamp.com, and it's West by Swan's first EP, and each of the 3 songs brings a different flavor. Opener Apocalyptico is a charging garage rocker with squirrely guitars, and it's followed by the dark psychedelic jam Cancellation. The final tune is the 9.5-minute epic Bent, which you're hearing now in the background, with its extended intro featuring a twangy guitar riff looping languid down a dusty trail before a downpour of noise washes over it all. The second half of the song brings a new circular riff that quickens the pace considerably before turning up the volume and taking the listener on a chaotic ride through multiple sonic terrains. The Chico News and Review is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by KIXE PBS Channel 9, presenting the new season of 2021 Indie Lens Pop-Up. The lineup includes 5 new documentaries that support diversity, equity, and inclusion for a richer understanding of society today. To see the schedule, visit KIXE.org. And by regional and